بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته We first offer our condolences to our beloved Imam Imam al-Hujjah Jalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad
For this sorrowful night of Ashura and we tell our Imam that we share with him in this suffering and this musibah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to get lessons from the martyrs of Karbala and in the way that they showed their ultimate support to their Imam, we would also be showing our ultimate support to our Imam, inshallah. One of the requirements of being committed to truth is to try to understand and discover the truth. You cannot be a person who is concerned about the truth, who has dedicated his life to truth, and then don't bother about understanding the truth. And this is where knowledge becomes very important, because knowledge is understanding of the truth. In Islam, knowledge has been very, very highly regarded. And if we understand also the society and the culture in which Islam emerged, you understand and appreciate this better. A society which is characterized as a society of Jahiliyyah, in all different dimensions of Jahiliyyah that you can imagine, Islam comes and starts the first message, the first communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity, with Iqra. And this shaped and formed all aspects of Islam. Maybe you don't find any scripture that, like the Quran, emphasizes on knowledge, on thinking, on learning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that this is indeed a very natural, very obvious thing for humanity to understand, that knowledge is not equal to ignorance. In Surah Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ Are the people who know and those who don't know the same? So you don't need to be taught. You don't need to learn this. This is something that you must understand by your conscience, that those who know and those who don't know, they are not the same. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ Those who have intelligence, those who have intellect and thinking capacity, they remember this. They understand this. They appreciate this. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates and raises the rank of those who have been given iman and those who have been given knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ Some of our ulama have made a very important point. They say, when it comes to iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah raises those who have been given iman. He doesn't say darajat. But when it comes to knowledge, says darajat. And therefore Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan, he says, after Iman, then all the higher levels are based on the levels of your ilm. So among the mu'mineen, those who have more knowledge, they are higher. So you can go higher and higher based on your knowledge. وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. This knowledge, of course, cannot be any type of knowledge. This knowledge cannot be any type of science or any type of information. To understand the view of Islam about knowledge and science, I can very briefly say that there are some type of information which are not even useful, and we should not even try to learn them. Sometimes there are some issues, maybe they are very personal, very confidential. We shouldn't say, because every information is good, every knowledge is good, it's better to know that than not knowing, so I should be nosy and find out the secrets of the lives of people. No, you should not be nosy, you should not look for these details, you should not ask people about this, and you should not let people tell you about secrets of other people. A mu'min would never want to interfere in the privacy of other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says that you must not do ghaiba. What is ghaiba? Ghaiba is to give information, correct information, not, you know, false accusation. Ghaiba is to say correct information about the life of someone, but that person doesn't want this to become a public knowledge. ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكْ بِمَا يَسُؤُهُ. Whatever you say about your brother or sister in faith that he or she doesn't want to be disclosed, this is ghaiba. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sometimes some of the questions that you ask are not good. لَا تَسْأَلُوا أَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِنْ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Don't ask about the thing that if you know, then it will hurt you. You know, like Bani Israel, you know, that they asked too many questions and they made it very difficult for themselves. When Allah said, you know, slaughter a cow, if the first cow they had found, they had a slaughter, that was enough. They kept asking and asking, and they made it very difficult. And indeed, Allah says, ذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Finally, they slaughtered, but they were not going to slaughter. So these questions were not for the sake of understanding, was just to delay. And you know, sometimes you think that by delaying you solve the problem, but you're not solving the problem. So there are some types of information which are prohibited. We shouldn't try to learn. But when it comes to anything which helps us in understanding the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wonders of this world, different disciplines, different sciences, these are all good. Physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, all are good. And Islam very much encouraged Muslims to learn all these things. Muslims very soon became very much advanced in these sciences. And you know, there was a time that Muslims taught through their books, through translations, and through also their own original contribution, they taught Middle Ages Europe about the sciences, about philosophy. Sometimes the people in Europe, they use Arabic translations of Greek texts. Sometimes they benefit from the contribution of Muslims in chemistry, in biology, in mathematics. You know, there are many, alhamdulillah, also good materials available about the accomplishments of Muslims in sciences, and how in the time that in Europe they were very much stuck with their, you know, religious conflicts and, you know, difficulties, Muslims, because of Islam, were very much advancing in science. But unfortunately, what happened was that because of bad leadership, because of caliphs and kings and rulers who had no interest in science or knowledge except if it was suitable for their power, otherwise they had no genuine interest, so they found that this is not important, it's not a priority, and sometimes they found this can be troublesome, so they kept Muslims, you know, unfortunately isolated from the scientific circles in the world. And therefore you see that unfortunately we have a historical you know, problem. But alhamdulillah, nowadays many things are changing. Alhamdulillah, we see in all different parts of the world, Muslims are among the best scientists, the best, you know, researchers. And this shows that Islam not only is not a barrier, is not an obstacle, Islam opens your mind. If you are a religious person, a pious person, and you do research, you will be inspired and you will be able to understand better. But what is important is that we have to understand that there are some types of knowledge, some types of understanding and information that we should all be equipped with. And there are some that we need to specialize. So we don't expect everyone to be a mathematician or physician or biologist or chemist. We need to have people who specialize in these areas, and these are very important. But if we all go to one direction or two directions, it's not wise. We need to divide our resources, our talents into different avenues, different occupations. But when it comes to knowledge of Islam itself, knowledge of the Quran itself, this is something that everyone should have enough information, enough exposure. This is not something that you can say, alhamdulillah, in our family we have some people who know, you know, Islam, so it's enough for all of us. Or in our community we have few people who have good knowledge of Islam, this is enough for us. When it comes to knowledge of religion, this is necessary for everyone. Because this is the way you want to live. This is the way of life. And way of life is needed for everyone. So, we see that in our hadith, great emphasis has been put on learning religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, مَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَيَنْفَرُوا كَافَّةً. It's not possible, it's not working, it's not practical that all the believers travel. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٍ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْدَرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. If it's not possible for every individual to travel and spend time on learning, why at least a group of people don't go and specialize, spend time, not rush. You know, to go for a few weeks or few months is good, but this is not enough. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. They should grasp deep understanding of Islam. تَفَقُّه comes from fiqh. Fiqh means deep understanding. The reason we call our mujtahids faqih, because they have deep understanding of Islam. Of course, Islam is not just fiqh, but fiqh is very important, and more than fiqh, the methodology that our mujtahids learn through a study of fiqh and usul helps in understanding other areas of Islam. You cannot understand tafsir, you cannot understand akhlaq, Islamic economics, without knowing that methodology which you learn in usul and fiqh. So, a group of people should go and learn deeply and come back لِيُنْدَرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ, so that they preach, they warn their own people, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ, so that inshallah they also would be getting the lesson, acting upon it, and then as a community we can progress. So we should have this distribution of tasks. Not everyone can do this, but at least we should make sure that some percentage of the community specializes in this very good learning, deep understanding, and then they come back and everyone welcomes and learns from them. In this way, we can sure that make sure that community is on the right track. I want to share with you some hadith, then inshallah I will expand about different implications of this from madrasa level upward, inshallah. There are many hadiths. You will be surprised, you know, how many hadiths we have about ilm. And I don't know why, you know, unfortunately we don't take these hadiths, you know, seriously. Imam Askari alayhi salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
said, حدثني أبي أن آبائه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, my father from his father, and finally Rasulullah quoted this. أشد من يتم اليتيم الذي انقطع عن أبيه يتم يتيم انقطع عن إمامه. More difficult, more severe than being an orphan who has lost his father is to be an orphan who has lost connection to his imam. To lose access to your imam is much more difficult than losing your father. انقطع عن امامه. He has lost connection and access to imam. ولا يقدر على الوصول إليه. He cannot reach his imam. وَلَا يَدْرِي كَيْفَ حُكْمُهُ فِي مَا يُبْتَلَى بِهِ مِنْ شَرَائِعِ دِينِهِ. He doesn't know what is Imam's view about this issue which is applicable to me. What should I do with my business, with my family life, so on and so forth. Then Rasulullah said, as Imam Askari has quoted, أَلَا فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ شِيعَتِنَا عَالِمًا بِعُلُومِنَا. Beware, those among our Shia who have knowledge of our sciences, of knowledge, they know our teachings. وَهَذَا الْجَاهِلْ بِشَرِيعَتِنَا الْمُنْغَتِ عَنْ مُشَاهِدَتِنَا يَتِيمٌ فِي حِجْرِهِ. Then those Shia who have no access to us, they are like orphans on the lap of this alim. ألا فمن هداه وأرشده وعلمه شريعتنا كان معنا في الرفيق الأعلى. Whoever teaches this orphan, guides him and teaches him our Sharia, would be with us in the highest position of heaven. This is the role of alim in dunya, and this is the rank of alim in the hereafter. In another hadith, Imam alayhi salam said, this is again Imam Askari alayhi salam, but he quotes from Imam Hassan Mujtaba. فَضْلُ كَافِ لِيَتِيمِ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. المنقطع عن مواليه الناشب في رتبة الجهل يخرجه من جهله ويوضح له ما اشتبه عليه على فضل كافل يتيم يطعمه ويسقيه كفضل الشمس على السها. You know, in Islam, to look after orphans is very important. One of the best things that we can do is to look after orphans. Rasulullah said, أَنَا وَكَافِلُ وَيَتِيمُ كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He referred to two fingers and said, the one who looks after orphans and me are very close. But the most important orphans are the orphans of Ahlul Bayt, who have no knowledge, no access to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. So Imam says, the privilege of a person who looks after the orphans, who have no access to their masters, who are dealing with jahl. Jahl is surrounding them. They want to get a way out from jahl. They help them to come out of jahl. And whatever is difficult, they cannot understand, they explain for them. Its position, its privilege with respect to the one who looks after an orphan by giving food and water is like the position of sun and cloud. It's very important to feed an orphan. But just to feed an orphan, you are saving his physical life. But by giving him knowledge and guidance, you are feeding his spirit. By feeding him with food, you give him few more days of life. But by giving him guidance, you give him eternal happiness. So the difference is big. In another hadith, we have from Imam Baqir alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Al-alimu kaman ma'ahu shama'atun tudhi'u lin-nas. The example of alim, real alim, the one who has knowledge and acts upon his knowledge and the light of knowledge comes from him, is like a person who is carrying a torch, carrying beacon of fire. تُذِيعُ لِلنَّاسِ, it gives light to people. فَكُلُّ مَنْ أَبْصَرَ شَمْعَتَهُ دَعَى لَهُ بِخَيْرِ. Everyone who benefits from this light is praying for that alim. Then Imam says he is removing darkness of jahl and confusion. You know, we have jahl and we have hayra. Jahl is ignorance. Hayra is confusion and being perplexed. Sometimes people suffer from ignorance. Sometimes people suffer from confusion. And indeed the second one is more dangerous. Because the one who doesn't know says, okay, I don't know. But the one who knows, but not in a good way. He thinks he knows. He has heard something. He has learned some words, some terms. He thinks he's very knowledgeable. But indeed, he doesn't understand. This is very dangerous. Because he feels that he doesn't need to learn. He feels that he has the right position to decide, to judge. This is very difficult. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we see that some people, instead of giving knowledge to people, they just give people few words, concepts, and confuse people. This is very important. I believe that in our centers, in our schools, in our houses, we have to be very open. We should allow people to have free discussion. They should be able to come up with the new ideas that they have. And alhamdulillah, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we have always been very open. But this is for academic discussion among the people who are involved in that field. You have a new idea in fiqh. Okay, go to a school of fiqh. Discuss this with ulama, with the scholars of fiqh. And there should be no bottom line, no red line. Free. Question everything that you want. But that is in the academic circles. Member is not a place to test your ideas. Or when you have new ideas or, you know, controversial ideas, you know, come and say it on the top of member. Member is a sacred place to say something that you are 100% sure that this is acceptable. Anything you is, it's your new finding, if it is a real finding, keep it for academic discussion. Publish an academic paper, give it to people who are in the field to review. But member is a place that only things which are 100% sure, they are verified by great scholars, should be said. Otherwise, we are misusing this member. So we should find this balance. This is another dimension of balance. We are not close-minded. We are not people who say, you know, no one should think, no one should come up with new ideas, no one should criticize. No. You are 100% free and welcome to do all these things, but in appropriate setting. We must not mix up things. This is a place that whatever is being said, people should be confident that themselves or their children are not going to be misguided. Maybe someone wants to this mosque once, and that is the only time that this person is speaking. He's not coming every week, every day, you know, to listen, check with other people. So, member is sacred, and it should not lead to hayra, to confusion. If an alim gives one lecture or 10 lectures, and after that people have learned things new, but they are confused. They are not confident. They don't have sukoon in their heart. This means that he has messed up the job. So, this alim tuzilu zulmat al-jahl wal-hayra. Darkness of ignorance and confusion should be removed. Then Imam said, kullu man adha'at lahu فخرج بها من حيرة أو نجا بها من جهل فهو من أتقائه من النار. Everyone who is saved by this alim from ignorance or confusion is freed from hell by this alim. So this alim has acted as a savior, as a person who has rescued people. والله يعوضه عن ذلك بكل شعرة لمن أعتقه ما هو أفضل له من الصدقة بمئة ألف قنطار. If you guide people equal to the number of the hairs in their body, Allah give you so much reward that would be much more than giving sadaqah of qintar. You know, in the past they used to make big, you know, kind of qintars of the skin of some animals and put, you know, lots of coin inside. So it says it's more than doing giving sadaqah of 100,000 qintar. In another hadith, Imam Sadiq. So I'm quoting you from different Imams. Imam Askari, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq, Rasulullah. So you see that this is the same message coming from all Ma'sumin. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Ulama ushi'atana murabituna bithakr alladhi yali iblis wa afarituhu. Ulama among our Shia are the people who are protecting the borders. You know, like a country that has borders and you need, you know, police and army to look after the borders of the country. As a community also we have borders. But our borders are not geographical. Our borders are ideological, theological. Ulama are those who safeguard those borders. If you are not careful about those borders, people come and invade us. We think, you know, we are still independent, but we don't know that we are being controlled and ruled by other people. So Imam said these are murabitun. Murabitun are those who look after the borders. They look after those places from which Iblis and his people try to penetrate. How does Iblis penetrate for a religious community? Those who are very weak, Shaitan doesn't come, you know, in a very sophisticated way. Shaitan, you know, those who are weak, said, you know, do this scene, that scene, enjoy yourself, go after pleasure. But those who are religious, Shaitan comes from the side of religion. Through religious people, through religious names and institutions, Shaitan comes to misguide people. This is where we need proper alim to stand and say, this is very beautiful idea, but it's from Shaitan. The fragrance of Shaitan is visible. This is the role of great alim. يَمْنَعُونَهُمْ عَنِ الْخُرُوجِ عَلَىٰ ذُعَفَاءِ شِيَعَتِنَا. They don't let these shayateen come and attack our weak Shia. Who are weak Shia? Weak here means not physical weakness. Maybe this person is very fit. Maybe it's 80 kilograms, 90 kilograms, or, you know, mashallah, you know, wrestler. This is weak in knowledge. A person who has no knowledge is weak, is vulnerable. Ulama are there to look after them. This is not physical weakness. This is religious, scientific weakness. So they protect them and they don't let Shaitan to overcome. And also, Shi'atahun Nawasib. Shaitan also has Shia. Shia means follower. Who are the follower of Shaitan? And Nawasib. Those who question the ideas of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You know, today we have, I don't want to mention many, plenty of these enemies of Ahlul Bayt and the school of Ahlul Bayt who bombard us with questions and, you know, challenges. And so ulama are there to protect. Allah. فَمَنْ انْتَصَبَ لِذَٰلِكَ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا كَانَ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّنْ جَاهَدَ الرُّومَ وَالْتُرْكَ وَالْخَزَرَ أَلْفَ أَلْفَ مَرَّةٍ. Those among our Shia who undertake this responsibility to defend and protect, they are 1 million times, alf, 1 million times better than the people who protected the border of Islam against those who were attacking. You know, at that time, you know, Romans were attacking, some people from, Turks were attacking. So Imam says this is 1 million times more important. Why? Is Imam exaggerating? Na'udhu billah. No. Imam himself explains why. He says, لَأَنَّهُ يَدْفَعُ. If we get this one sentence tonight, it's enough. لَأَنَّهُ يَدْفَعُ أَنْ أَدْيَانِ مُحَبِّينَ وَذَلِكَ يَدْفَعُ أَنْ أَبْدَانِهِمْ. This alim protects religion of our lovers, but that soldier protects bodies of our lovers. Which one is more important, body or iman? Body is very important, but it's not comparable to iman. And unfortunately, we don't get this lesson. Everything which is related to body is important, but when it comes to health of soul, heart, it's not comparable. What you spend for your physical health is very important, but there should be no limit for what you can spend on your soul. If someone tells me there is a school or university which gives you the best academic result, please listen carefully. You know, I want, for example, to send my child, to a school or university. They said this is giving the best result. But 10% of the people who go there, they become physically ill. Because there are some virus there, they physically become ill. 10% of everyone who has gone there has become ill. I never send my children to that school or university, because I don't want to take even 10% of risk of losing their physical health. But when it comes to a spiritual health, we are ready to take 50% of risk and sending to any school, any place. Why? Is it wise? Inshallah, I will talk about the significance of having our own religious establishments. At least, if we cannot have university, at least to the level of high school, at least to the level of secondary school. And inshallah, we will talk about these issues. So we should not take any risk about our physical health, but more importantly, any risk about spiritual health. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. So I am inviting all the imams tonight, to bear witness about this issue. Faqihun wahid yunqidhu yatiman min aytamina. One faqih, one alim, who saves one of our orphans, al-mutqati'in anna, who are disconnected from us, they have no access to us. Wa an mushahidatina, they cannot see us, they cannot meet us. He saves one orphan, بتعليم ما هو محتاج إليه. He teaches him what he needs to know. أشد على إبليس من ألف عابد. This faqih is more difficult for Shaitan to see and tolerate than 1,000 worshipper. Imagine if we have in our community 1,000 people who are pious day and night, they pray, they recite Quran, no one sees them doing anything of dunya, dedicated 100% to ibadah. Imagine if we had 1,000 people like this. We don't have even maybe one, but imagine if we had 1,000 people like this. Imam says an alim who teaches one orphan of us is more important than having these 1,000 abids. Why? لَأَنَّ الْعَابِدْ حَمُّهُ ذَاتُ نَفْسِهِ. Abid wants to save himself, wants to put, savab over savab. و هذا همه مع ذات نفسه ذات عباد الله. But Alim is concerned about himself. He is not careless. He looks after himself and his piety, but also he is very much concerned about people. حمه مع ذات نفسه ذات عباد الله و امائه. Men and women who are servants of Allah, he is concerned about them. لينقذهم من يد ابليس و مردته. He wants to save them from and bring them out of the hands of Shaitan and Shaitan's allies. فذلك هو أفضل عند الله من ألف ألف عابد وألف ألف عابدة. It's better than 1 million men who is worshipping and 1 million women. Imam Reza alayhi salam. يقال للعابد يوم القيامة نعم الرجل كنت. A person who has been pious, worshipping, going for ziyara, hajj, recitation, we said, Allah says نعم الرجل. MashaAllah, you are a very good person. همتك ذات نفسك. You have been looking after yourself. وكفيت الناس مؤونتك. Also, you were not a burden on people. It's not that, you know, you said to people, you know, I worship, you pay for my life. You will pay for my children. You looked after your caste, but also you dedicate your life to ibadah. Very good, mashallah. فَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Go to heaven. But أَلَا إِنَّ الْفَقِيهِ. But Imam Reza alayhi salam says, faqih is different. مَنْ أَفَازَ عَلَى النَّاسِ خَيْرَهُ. Faqih is not only looking after himself. He's the one who has given, extended his khair to people. وَأَنْقَذَهُمْ مِنْ أَعْدَائِهِمْ. Has saved people from their enemies. وَوَفَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ نِعْمَ جِنَانِ اللَّهِ. He has given access to the blessings of heaven to people. وَحَصَّلَ لَهُمْ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Has made them able to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, on the day of judgment, يُقَالُ لِلْفَقِيهِ. A faqih, an alim, will be said, يا أيها الكافل الأيتام آل محمد. Oh, the one who has looked after the orphans of the Ahlul Bayt. الهادي لضعفاء محبيهم ومواليهم. The one who has been guiding those who were weak in their knowledge. قف. Wait. So Zahid will be said, Abed will be said, you are a good person, go to heaven. But Abed will be said, wait. قف. حتى تشفع لمن أخذ عنك أو تعلم منك. Do shafa for everyone who has learned from you, everyone who has been saved by you. فيدخل الجنة معه. Then a group of people or groups of people will be going to heaven with you. Then Imam alayhi salam said, these are the people who took his knowledge or took from someone who took from his knowledge. So it's not only one generation. You know, those who in, for example, this community have taught your fathers or your forefathers, still they will benefit from what you are doing today. The knowledge goes on for generations, so they will be benefiting. إلى يوم القيامة. Up to the day of judgment, whoever benefits from the knowledge of this person, he can do shafa'a for him. Then Imam alayhi salam said, فَانْظُرُوا كَمْ فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ الْمَنْزِلَتَيْنِ. How much difference is between the one who only is concerned about himself and the one who is concerned about people. Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Because I want to save time, so I just translate. Imam said, whoever looks after the orphans of the Ahlul Bayt, who have no access to their Imam, who are perplexed in their ignorance, who have been taken as captive by Satans and by Nawasib, he tries to save them and take them from confusion and tries to attack and to respond to the wasawis, to the temptations which come from Shaitan, and defeats Nasibin, the enemies, by bringing proofs and arguments against them, Imam said that these people layufadhaluna inda Allah ta'ala alal ubad biafdal almawaqi, they would be elevated and raised to the highest position, biakthar min fazl as-samaa' ala al-ard, the difference between them and other mu'mineen is the difference between a sky and the earth. And Imam Hadi alayhi salam, لولا من يبقى بعد غيبته قائمنا عليه السلام من العلماء. If it was not that after the occultation of Imam Zaman started, because Imam Hadi and all Imams were aware of what is going to happen, so they see the future very clearly. Imam says, if it was not because of what ulama are going to do in the time of ghaibah, who are guiding people, zabina and dine, they protect religion, بحججالله, with the arguments, المنغذين لزعفاء عباد الله, they save and rescue those who are weak, من شباك إبليس, from the network of Shaitan, they bring them out. If it was not because of these people, then Imam says, لما بقي أحد إلا ارتد عن دين الله, no one would be left unless he goes away from religion. All will be misguided. Who is filling the gap of presence of Imam? It's ulama, it's the hawzas, it's the scholarship, it's the taqwa that our ulama have, that helps us to, they cannot fill the gap completely, but at least we can remain, we can be at least on the right track till Imam inshallah himself comes. وَلَكِنَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُمْسِكُونَ أَزِمَّةَ قُلُوبِ ذُعَفَاءِ الشِّيَةِ كَمَا يُمْسِكُ صَاحِبُ السَّفِينَ سُكَّانَهَا. In the same way that when people are on a boat or ship traveling, the one who is controlling, the captain of the ship, is saving them, these ulama are saving our Shia. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْأَفْضَلُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, these are the highest people. So, there are many, many hadiths. Just I mentioned few hadiths from different ma'sumeen, so that you see the same message coming from all Imams, from Rasulullah, that we as community need to follow real ulama. First of all, we should make sure that we would always send intelligent, talented, pious members of the community to learn and become alim. We cannot, you know, just rely on the existing ulama. If this supply is not continuing, then after one generation, two generations, we will have no alim left. So we have responsibility to make sure that we send people to learn properly, we support them. There are plans that, you know, can be discussed. How can we support them? If we get time, we can discuss. But also, those ulama who are there, who have been, alhamdulillah, established, they have spent tens, decades of knowledge, learning, their life on learning, teaching, writing, and have clear history behind them, we must know that they have very important position, and we have great responsibility towards Allah to be thankful for having such ulama, such maraji. Do not let people confuse you by, you know, saying, you know, what is happening to Homs, you know, why, you know, they don't speak English or French, you know, this type of, you know, superficial things. This is an institution which is founded from the first day on taqwa. Our marja'iyya is based on taqwa and knowledge from the first day. And our enemies are very jealous when they see, you know, millions of Shia listen to fatwa of one marja, and they do 100% what he says, not out of blindness. No, first they have checked that he is knowledgeable, he is muttaqi, he is wise, but then they don't question what he says. If God forbid the day comes that everything that marja says, you know, we question, then we are lost, we are finished. How can you have an army that every soldier says, I understand better than the commander. Who is going to protect the borders? Sometimes, you know, you have little issues, and these issues are to be tackled, are to be addressed. But we cannot, you know, question the whole institution because of small issues. Maybe I have even issues with my father. But what is the solution? Shall I start, you know, writing against my father in a newspaper? Go to, na'uzubillah, you know, mosque and member and talk against marja'iyya, against taqlid, against khums? Is it reasonable? What other solution you have? Do you have any other institution better than this? Do you have people who have more knowledge of Islam? And then at the same time, whatever else you say. You know, sometimes I say, you know, this example. Imagine, you know, I am in need of a doctor, medical doctor. For sure, if doctor lives in my town, is better. I don't need to travel. If doctor is speaking my language, is better. If doctor is from my own community, is better. He is a doctor, but on top of that, he is near, he is available, he speaks my language, he knows me. We are friends with each other. Okay, this is very good. But these are all working after making sure that he's a qualified doctor. But if I am given a choice that I have someone in the community who is very close to me, he speaks my language, my family member or, you know, my friend, but he has not finished his training. He's just a student at most. Even he's not a student of the student of a student of that marja. Then I say, because he speaks language, he has been living in the West, I prefer him to that man of knowledge and taqwa. Who is accepting this from us? On the day of judgment, we can say to Allah, I prefer this man because he has been living, you know, in UK or US or Canada. Yes, if you have someone at that level, living here would be better. Maybe, inshallah, a time would come that we would have great maraj at that level in different parts of the world. Maybe, inshallah, that day comes. But at the moment, it's a matter of having someone who is qualified and people who have no quality. They are fake. Sometimes they themselves know, sometimes even themselves are confused. Anyone today in any part of the world other than the main houses claim that I am a marja', he's confused in the best scenario. We don't have that quality any place other than the main houses, because that's a place of learning. That is a place that you can present yourself and be tested. Once Shaykh Ansari rahmatullah alayhi stopped teaching. Some of the students of Shaykh Ansari, you know, Shaykh Ansari was a great alim, very pious, very great. Some asked the Shaykh, why have you stopped teaching? Shaykh said, because I received a letter from someone who is not attending my lectures, but he has heard about the discussions that we have had. And he have made comments about my teaching that were not correct. So I stopped. They thought Sheikh is offended or, you know, sad. Why, you know, that person, without understanding what he said, he has questioned him. Then they said, you shouldn't be sad, you know, you should do what you are supposed to. Sheikh said, no, this is not my concern. Please listen. Sheikh said, my concern is this. I told myself, this person, he didn't understand what I said and therefore criticized me. So maybe also when in my lectures I criticize the views of previous ulama, I am also doing the same mistake. Because I haven't been listening to them and giving them chance to defend themselves. Then some of his very high students said something very important. They said, Sheikh, it's correct. You are criticizing the views of the people who are not here. But you are doing this in front of tens of mujtahids and then hundreds of people who are close to ijtihad. If you misunderstand, we'll stop you.
That person has sat in his house without checking anything with anyone, has criticized you. The big difference. So Sheikh said, okay, now I continue. So if you are in Hose and you say something, that there are hundreds of people to question you, criticize you, and if you are able to still keep your view, that's important. But when I am here and I share my knowledge with the people who don't understand anything, or they understand very little, so it's very easy to become a'lam in such situation. Even if someone has, you know, studied 1 year, can be a'lam in some of the cities. In London, maybe a few years. But when you want to be a'lam in Najaf and Qom, it's a matter of 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. So it's quite different. So as a community, we have to appreciate knowledge, science, in all areas. When you want to do, for example, I don't know, some building, we want to do some, I don't know, engineering, we go for the best scholars, we go for the experts, we go for the people who are qualified. When it comes to religion also, we should do the same. At least the same amount of care that we have in other areas, we should have in religion. Not that when it comes to religion, we become very relaxed. We take opinion from every person. But when it goes to science, to medicine, to engineering, you know, we are not that relaxed. This doesn't make sense. It must be quite opposite. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our ulama, our maraja, give them long life. And may Allah make us grateful for the service that they are giving to the community, inshallah. This is the night of Ashura. And it is very special night. The last chance for the members of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam to be together. You know, when you are with someone and you know that you are losing that person, even when he is there, you start feeling the pain. Because you know that after a few years, you would not be able to see that person. So this is the condition of Ahlul Bayt in this night. If it is possible, if we can switch off this light, please. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifnaik. عليك مني سلام الله. Oh Hussein, I am not worthy to send you salam. I ask Allah to send you salam. عليك مني سلام الله. أبدا ما بغيت وبغي الليل والنار. I ask Allah to send you salam on my behalf as long as I am in this world. And even after I die, as long as day and night are there. وَلَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ آخِرَ الْعَهْدِ مِنِّي لِزِيَارَتِكُمْ. May this not be my last Muharram. May this not be my last opportunity to remember and mourn for you. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. امشب شهادت نامه عشاق امضا می شود. فردا ز خون عاشقان این دشت دریا می شود.
Tonight the certificates of martyrdom are being signed, and tomorrow this plain will be filled with the blood of these martyrs. امشب کنار یک دگر بنشست آل مصطفی. The family of the Prophet are sitting together tonight, looking at each other, talking. فردا پریشان جمعشان چون قلب زهرا می شود. But tomorrow they will be separated like different parts of the heart of Lady Fatima. امشب بود برپا اگر این خیمه سار اللهی. Tonight the tent of Abi Abdullah is standing, is intact. فردا به دست دشمنان برکنده از جا می شود. But tomorrow the enemies will damage this tent. امشب صدای خواندن قرآن به گوش آید. ولی tonight you see that they are reciting Quran. The beautiful recitation of Quran is coming from every corner. فردا صدای الامان زندش برپا می شود. But tomorrow you will hear the cries of children asking for refuge. امشب کنار مادرش لب تشنه اصغر خفته است. Tonight اصغر who is thirsty is sleeping next to his mother. فردا خدایا بسترش آغوش صحرا می شود. But tomorrow Ali Asghar will be put on this soil of Karbala. امشب به خیل تشنگان عباس باشد پاسبان. Tonight everyone feels safe because Abul Fazl is there protecting. فردا کنار القم بی دست سقا می شود. But tomorrow next to you phrase this Abul Fazl will lose his hands. امشب که قاسم زینت گلزار آل مصطفی است. Beautiful Qasim is decorating this feast, this meeting of Ahlul Bayt. فرداز مرکب سرنگون این سر و رعنا می شود. But tomorrow this beautiful tree will drop from top of the horse. امشب بود جای علی آغوش گرم مادرش. Tonight the mother of Ali Akbar is hugging her son. فردا چو گلا پیکرش پامال اعدا می شود. But tomorrow the horses of enemies will wear on the body of Ali. امشب گرفته در میان اصحاب سار الله را. Tonight everyone is gathering around Hussein, looking at Hussein, asking Hussein, speaking to Hussein. فردا عزیز فاطمه بیار تنها می شود. But tomorrow a time would come that Hussein looks at right and left and see there is no helper, there is no one left for Hussein. امشب سر سر خدا بر دامن زینب بود.
Tonight Hussein put his head on the lap of his sister. Farda Anis Khulio Deire Nazara Mishavad. But tomorrow they will take the head of Hussein to the oven and to the mug. The narrator said when Imam Hussein saw that he has no helper, no soldier, he said, "Hal min dhabbin yadhubbu an haram Rasulullah?" Is there anyone to protect the sanctity of Rasulullah? To look after the daughters and granddaughters of Rasulullah? Hal min muwahhidin yakhafu Allah fina? Is there anyone who has fear of God? So would be nice to us. Hal min mughithin yarju Allah fi ghasatina? Is there anyone who at least for the sake of Allah will come to our help? When the ladies heard this, started crying and lamenting. Then Imam said towards the tents and said, "Now, Luni Ali and Ibni, give me my Ali Asghar, Hatta Uwadda. I want to sing for the last time." Sheikh al-Mufid said, فَجَعَلَ يُقَبِّلُ, started kissing Ali Asghar. Then Imam said, وَيْلٌ لِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ, woe to these people when your grandfather would be their enemy. Then he put Ali Asghar on his lap. اِزْرَمَاهُ حَرْمَلَةُ بُلُقَائِلْ بِسَمِرْ. Then Armale shooted an arrow towards Ali Asghar. The hand of Hussein was full of blood. The narrator said Imam threw blood to the sky. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منغلب ينغلبون. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبالقرآن المستحكم وبفاطمة وأبيا وبعلا وبنيا والسر المستودع فيها. Who knows, maybe this is my last night of Ashura. Maybe our life would not permit us to witness another Muharram, so we should get everything that we want from Allah. Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Please enable us to serve you with honesty and sincerity till last moment of our life. Please let us be with Muhammad and all Muhammad in dunya and akhirah. Please protect our community. Please protect our youth, our families. Oh Allah, please save us from misguidance, from confusion. Please give healing and shifa to all who are ill, who are suffering in their body and spirit. Please send your rahmah to all marumin, marumin of brothers and sisters who are here, those who have served this community, our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, everyone who has right upon us. Please let them be with Ahlul Bayt right now.
Oh Allah, please make the appearance of Imam Zaman as easy as possible. Please make it as soon as possible. Please enable us to serve our Imam before and after he comes. Please accept his dua for his Shia. Please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Amen.